Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Coming Attractions 2012. For more info and news we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com. Hey!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Geeks On.
Welcome to Geeks On, another
triumphant return of 2012.
Woohoo! I know, this episode we'll be talking about what we're most looking forward to. Actually, I didn't even get into like, TV and stuff because there's, so much.
There's too
TV.
Much.
Okay, good.
I think 2012 is the year of the geek.
Yeah.
It might be.
Well, I still feel like 2011 was a bit of a dry spell. So I feel like...
That's because we didn't have a Hobbit movie.
Exactly. Yeah. 2013.
Yeah. We'll have a Hobbit movie.
Exactly.
You remember, the good old days when every year we had a Hobbit?
I remember...
A Hobbit or a Batman.
Going to the Lord of the Rings movie with like, you know... Aaron behind me with the elf ears on and all this, just loving it and enjoying it and leaving and listening to Aaron bitch about it for hours and destroy that joy.
I didn't bitch about it. All I said was there's no reason why a wizard should fall faster than a Balrog.
Yes. But you have to understand the tone in which he said it.
Balrogs have wings.
Yes, exactly. They're falling.
They fall slower.
And I just heard in the seat next to me.
Okay.
Guess what?
It's like some rust in our
I guess
space
wizards fall back. No point. I never thought of that.
Hi, my name is Aaron
I've
Hendricks.
I've seen so many rusty spaceships. Oh my God!
That doesn't
never
bother
made
you?
Sense to me.
My name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a graphic designer in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
Go.
Hello, my name is Marisha Ray, and I'm a host and actor and writer and just a general geek as well.
Professional geek,
yes. Quite a bit.
My name is Matt King. I'm an actor and writer here in Los Angeles, and I too am a geek.
My name is Don Marshall. I'm a writer and video game professional here in sunny Hollywood, and I too am a geek.
My name is Matthew Mercer. I'm an actor, voice actor, writer, and an extremely geeky person.
And handsome.
Well... No.
Yes.
You know. I don't.
you may recognize by Matt's voice that Matt is the voice of Tigra on the newest Wow.
It felt appropriate.
I'm a little embarrassed. You said Tigra, and I started thinking Chitara, and I'm like,
No.
He's a voice of Tigra when he's in the shower, talking to himself,
playing. Exactly.
playing.
Or on the newest Thundercats.
Either or.
Excellent.
So how's the Thundercat biz these days?
It's going great. We just got picked up for season two, which was awesome.
Good.
Yay.
So that's been fun. I guess the new wave of action figures are coming out soon.
Woohoo! And, do you have to put your voice on any of the action figures?
We would have if Bandai decided they wanted to go union.
They didn't want to.
So they got voice matches.
That's really bad.
Really bad voice. Really bad. Like, it's impressive.
It's awful. But the toys are still cool and I can still afford my rent, so I'm happy.
I'm fine.
You don't have to eat cat food?
Not yet. The year is still young.
No. It's kind of a little pun there.
Yeah, no, I got it. I gotcha. Play on words. I was with you.
Yeah. Thundera brand cat food.
Yeah.
There had to have been like a Thundercat cereal somewhere, right?
Oh, I'm sure
there had to have been.
Honey Nut Hose? I'm reaching.
They can't see the look through the microphone.
I think they can. It's that intense.
Exactly.
Flavor of omens. Give me taste beyond taste. Like, you know, there's a lot of things you could do with it.
Well,
do they still do like the really phallic thing? Like
with the glowing sword?
He gets in trouble. He grabs his little sword and he shakes it and he says thunder and it gets bigger. He shakes it again. It gets bigger. He shakes it bigger. And then it just explodes. This radiant ray of energy everywhere as he screams.
It was the 80s,
maybe,
man.
Maybe I'm just reading into
you're the not reading.
I loved that cartoon.
Well, we should probably talk about our Geek Week if we had any. Anybody didn't do anything? Well, Don and I are playing Star Wars Old Republic.
Yeah.
Mm. Anybody else?
It has effectively eaten my life.
I do not want it to eat my life, and therefore I will not play it.
Yeah.
I'm not an MMO player.
I know.
I just don't really get it.
Does it hold up? I mean, you played WoW for all of 15 minutes, and you were like, yeah, I don't need the crack.
I don't need 1,000 people. I just don't need them. I need, like, 4 of my friends. That's right. All I need. Just if they are all instances where 4 of my friends were running around, that's fine by me. I do not need 1,000 people. So that part I don't get.
Right.
Yeah. This feels like a BioWare video game. So if you're used to Mass Effect and...
It's Mass Effect fused to World of Warcraft.
Right. So, which is a good thing, in my opinion, because full cutscenes, you have the dialogue choices just like Mass Effect, exactly like Mass Effect. You feel like you're part of a big storyline. Like, the problem with World of Warcraft is I just felt like I was just looking at the lists of things. Like, oh, I need 5 bat wings.
Yeah. And your character would go to do this quest, and at the end of the quest, your character would behave the exact same way that his character or her character or his character did. The conversational trees they have put into this, you can custom your character's personality while you play.
Huh.
I've got a sassy, wisecracking Jedi. You know, it's kind of fun.
Are you guys both playing good or bad?
I am playing good because I'm a wuss.
I'm playing all good just because the two other... I didn't know Don was playing. The two other people who said they would jump on, we just decided to go.
We're all going.
But here's the crazy thing. Now, I could be wrong about this, Don, because I've just really started. Is you choose a faction, Sith or Republic.
Yes.
Yes.
Right? But this takes place 4,000 years before Star Wars started.
Right. And yet looks better.
But that doesn't mean that you're good dark side or light side.
Yes.
You can join the Republic and be a Jedi and decide that the Jedis are weak and go to the dark side.
I have a light side bounty hunter working with the Empire.
Interesting.
Oh, interesting.
See, you can believe in their... And actually, the game gets, I think... interesting, where you play like a commando and you're on this that's like the stormtrooper character. You start out on this planet that's in the middle of a battle, a war going on with separatists, but the separatists are actually people in towns and stuff. They're rebels. And so sometimes you go to them and they're not stormtroopers who you have no clue why they're just being assholes like Star Wars.
Right.
This is like people who say they are being wronged and they're...
So it's more like the short film Troops.
Well, it's more like a well thought out real political situation instead of just the guy with the black hat and the guy with the white hat.
Did you see the article? There was a guy who wrote about how he felt morally weird because, I mean, Star Wars has a lot of slavery in it. It has
slaves. Yeah.
And he felt really uncomfortable that there was a slave that he was,
that's
a Sith and abusing
you,
a slave.
You are role-playing. If you are taking on a dark side character, your character, if you want to stay dark side, your character may go to some dark places.
Right.
Yeah.
You do not have to shock your slave. You do not have to keep your slave. You can let your slave go.
Yeah, this guy was like, he felt weird because he showed up on Korriban or whatever the planet that they all show up on, and everybody else was boasting about how much they beat their slaves. And he's like, but I really like Crystal. She's kind of nice.
But, Don,
yeah,
the program, you would not say that if one of the choices was rape her. No, you can roleplay it, just don't rape her.
Right? I don't agree.
You'd be okay if the programmers worked for hours on a scenario where you could rape the character.
I'm not saying I'd like it. It's a mature role-playing game. If it has an M rating.
I agree.
Yeah, and you can't do that to level 40 anyway. So
you
have to work for it.
Yeah. It's a specialty.
It's a skill tree. You
have to earn your way to rape, damn it.
Right. There is
sodomy comes first. You have to invest in that one.
Right. Before rape. I'm just saying.
That's a hell of a skill tree.
That's higher up on that tree.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, I spec'd wrong. Damn it.
All I'm saying is that there is a line. And it just depends on where your line is. Where I could see how that guy would be uncomfortable with that. Because if you do look at some of the footage, you're like, it's pretty kind of crazy. Because you're torturing this woman. Yeah. Now, she lets you off the hook by being snarky about it. But if they played that, that actress, and that they played that as being horrific, I could see going, what is wrong with this game company?
Well, that's where you've got art and ratings bureaus walking hand in hand. The ESRB... Like, you can do horrific things as long as people don't really react appropriately.
Or
like,
she, you'll or notice, when you beat her, her boob doesn't slip out.
Well, look, let's go back to the Left 4 Dead games, right?
Right.
You have scenarios there where your character can get taken out by zombies, be surrounded by a horde of zombies that are clawing at you, biting you, ripping you apart while you're on the ground rolling around. And what does the character say? Hey! Ow! Stop! That's bad! Oh, that kind of hurts! It's not screams of agony, terror, and it, because that won't get past the ratings bureau.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a shame. They could come up with a mod for that where you just absolutely.
Well, what's a shame is that they don't allow the woman to react appropriately so that when you shock her that you don't get more than snarkiness.
That would
be actually be more appropriate if she if you felt awful and like a sick little bastard.
Well, yeah, yes. or you'd be like the guy who's at negative 3,000 whatever in
dark points
points and you're like,
and if it was an NC
I don't want to hang out with him.
If it was an NC-17 game I could say fine, but it's supposed to be family entertainment. So you only get to torture your slave, not rape them.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. All right. I'm just wondering where your line is, Don. Apparently, rape is fine. Okay. Got it. Let's move on. All meme emails go to Don. Yes. At
Only saying if it's for art.
Other than prepping for the new geek that is coming into the world in, what, 3.5 weeks?
What new geek would that be, Matt?
That would be my wife who's pregnant with our new geek coming in 3.5 weeks.
Aww. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So,
squishy baby.
It's a squishy baby girl. So,
it's a baby girl. Yeah, and you already have one baby girl, right?
I already have one baby girl. Yeah. So we will be trying to make the world a better place since the men have obviously already effed it up. but yeah, so I've been doing that, and I got on the beta test for Diablo 3. So I have been,
by the way, heard coming to consoles.
Consoles, definitely. And it's quite neat.
Is it simo release?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know, but knowing Blizzard, most people would do it at the exact same time. Knowing Blizzard, they would probably release on PC and then put out the console. Just because console's kind of like
that's
second
new
rate
ground
to them.
Yeah. They haven't done a console game, have they?
They've tried.
They tried, and then
Ghost.
Ghost. Yeah.
Which is a shame, because I got to play that at BlizzCon. Actually, I really enjoyed
it.
It
was a great game.
Ghost.
It was a great game. Yeah. And then,
well,
nothing.
For the 15 seconds you play.
Right.
Yeah.
That's actually that's actually kind of like the beta test for this. Is the beta test for the game is literally like one short tiny little adventure, and it sort of encourages you to play as many classes as you possibly can.
Oh, I can see. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying that's really interesting.
I can see this
all warm and fuzzy now.
Game for me. Like, I want to mash and do combos. I don't want to go click 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 click.
They changed that a little bit. There are skill trees and there are spell trees, and you choose and you can figure out what spells go with which and
so
how.
Like
so
Warcraft.
So, a little bit, yes. More closer to Warcraft, yeah. Yeah. Much closer to Warcraft.
I feel like the immediate, like, if I go up to a skeleton, I want to go I want to like beat on it with, you know, a button and stuff.
Well, you
like
can still definitely do that.
Okay.
Well, I know it's weird,
but you're just doing it with a mouse.
For me, it's about the vibration pack. I like that tactile sensation of like I'm actually hitting something because there's something in my hand.
That's true.
I love that sensation.
So, how was your geek week, Marisha?
Oh, my geek week was really busy. I have been like shoulders deep in a new web series that I'm doing.
Excellent.
Yeah, that is a Batgirl web series.
Now, this is the one you...
Batgirl web series. Yeah.
Aren't there lots of those types?
Well...
It's the other type of films here.
I'm debating on whether I should correct this or not. a Batgirl. And it's going to be called Batgirl Spoiled.
Excellent.
And it follows Stephanie Brown.
Really?
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. And so because everyone really loved the Stephanie Brown series and the comics. And then she kind of got canned when they came out with the D52 reboot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because is it back to Barbara Gordon?
In the new one, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who now
so
can
wait,
walk.
She's not in a wheelchair anymore?
No.
Nope.
But
back
is she?
Out.
The question
they
I
gave
have,
you the piece of information in the video
reboot,
game,
and
they
took it away.
With the reboot, is she out of the wheelchair? Like she's healed, or was she never in the wheelchair to begin with?
It's as in the sense of a reboot, like they're pretending none of that happened.
So she
and
never
just
got shot.
Most
are you
good
a comic
character development no longer exists.
I am. I'm not. There's plenty of more people who are way more comic book readers than I am. I'm more gamer than comic book reader, but I really love Batman. I really do. And Stephanie Brown is just such a great character. How the concept actually originally came up, because I wanted to do a Gotham City Sirens web series. And yeah.
Great title.
Right. And then we focused, we decided instead of doing kind of the ensemble cast thing and trying to give equal screen time to both, to Catwoman, Harley Quinn, and Poison Ivy.
Didn't they try to do that?
They came out with a Gotham City Sirens comic book series.
Right.
That was okay.
But aren't I think, I'm thinking about a
they did some episodes.
They did.
Yeah, for the Batman series.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right. And that was before.
And they were brilliant. Okay.
Yeah. They were brilliant. They were like little 5-minute like vignettes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and that was off of the animated series. Okay. And that was before the comic book series.
So you're saying this is not a web comic. This is a full-on live-action superhero web series.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. It got really big. Really fast. It's going to be great.
Live action and superhero together, I would think it would get big quick.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, we have a lot of really awesome people in Hollywood, you know, who are jumped on board. Our fight choreographer is Paradox Pollock, who was the movement. Right. He was the movement instructor and did some fight choreography on Thor, Star Trek, I Am Legend.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, 300. Just really amazing guy. And I am playing Stephanie Brown. So I've been doing Batgirl training. And I call it superhero training. And it's kind of amazing. I actually saved I screen capped a text message that I got a few weeks back when I very first started training. And it was the guy at the gym being like, oh, yeah, just tell Batgirl to call you when she gets here. That way we can buzz her up. So I screen capped it. Because who gets that text message? Who gets that? So I saved it. I'm like, no one's around and I'm showing my phone.
So you have to have to fit into latex?
We are working on the costume now. Mm-hmm. Because we're going to start shooting a teaser trailer here and really soon, like coming up in a couple weeks.
Awesome.
So it's really getting to crunch time. And we picked this fabric, this really awesome fabric, and it's essentially a like spandex stretch rubber.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like
hot
super
as anything.
Lots of baby powder.
Right, right. And at first, they were trying to decide if they wanted to do kind of going off of Arkham City, like kind of the patchy little bits of it. And they were like, "Nah, let's make the entire suit out of it. That'll look awesome." And I'm going.
And you want to fight in that?
And I'm going to fight in it. And it was actually really funny because our costume designer who does, once again, I'm like, how am I in this room? How did this happen? She does costumes for LA Opera and Prince Poppy Cop. She's really funny. Yeah, really amazing woman. And she was saying, you want to make the suit out of this? And our costume designers are like, yeah, totally. And she was like, okay, well, it shouldn't be too bad because as long as you have your head uncovered and your neck uncovered, which is where most of the heat in your body escapes, you should be fine. And I was just like, ha! Right, of course.
Kinda.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
So for hours, you're going to be
in a cowl. Right. Yeah. And they're also, she's designing it to wear, because she's like, it's not like theater, right? Once you get it on, you can stay in it, right? And I was like, yes.
No,
I guess technically.
Being is nice.
You want to be able to get that. I mean, I played a shock absorber in a Ford commercial, and I had to wear a full latex suit, and that, like, by the end of the day, I just literally had an inch full of liquid down in the bottom of my shoe.
Right,
so
yeah.
So it's like, you know,
problem solved. Cut a little hole in the toe.
Bam. Like,
let it.
That simple solution.
That is why you need to direct more.
Exactly.
Right.
That's
totally. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be really amazing. Just got some really amazing actors involved. Tara Platt,
cool.
Who's a really amazing voice actor. She's involved. Chris Smith, who's another amazing voice actor. She's really amazing people. I sometimes I look around and wonder if they'll notice that I'm the, like, how I got in.
Right.
Excuse me. You know? Do you have a bad...
Well, you sort of made it.
I did, but...
well, congratulations.
You know,
exactly.
Yeah. It's going to be... So, yes, if you want to keep up with the process, you can follow us on Twitter at BatgirlSpoiled.com. So the series is going to be
not Bad Girls Are Spoiled.
Not Bad Girl, no.
Batgirl.
Right.
Batgirl.
Excellent.
Not like Batgirls Gone
That's
Wild.
That's where I originally got confused. When you mentioned that, they said Batgirl.
Yeah, Batgirl. Yeah. Bad girl.
Wow.
Spoiled.
Trala.
Well, you'll be back and tell us about it also.
Totally.
We can't wait.
Anybody else got some good Geek Week stuff? Matt?
Yeah, actually. Aside from just playing a very extensive End of Heroic tier Dungeons & Dragons game on Monday.
Wow, you are a geek.
I am a huge
fan. Hey, what's your feeling about rebooting Dungeons & Dragons again?
For 5th edition?
Yeah.
Well, I...
Are you a 4th edition guy, or are you a 3rd edition?
I'm between the two. I think both have their merits. I'm enjoying 4th edition now because it fixed some of my biggest issues with 3rd edition. But the more I play it, the more and more I miss elements, like the freedom of 3rd edition. So it's like I'm between the two for different reasons. I'm hoping 5th might be a merger of the two.
I've just started playing 4th edition for the first time with some people, and it makes me want to tear my hair out. Well, just because Matt knows, like, I'm the big, like, the story matters, the story matters.
Don likes to make GMs cry.
And, well, that's part of it. But I find that with the 4th edition, it's combat fest. It's like every ability that you can assign to your character has some functionality in combat. But if you want to negotiate something, there are no feats.
But have you noticed that if you... Well, okay. If you ever see Dungeons & Dragons being played anywhere, it's all on a board now. It's a board game. It looks like...
Well, that's 4th edition.
Well, it looks like the old day.
Even all of the rules are geared towards like three spaces, five spaces.
Yeah. Actually, it looks like the old days, you know, like way back when Gary Gygax and everybody started it.
When it was an evolution of wargaming.
Well, exactly. It was all wargaming based back then. Yeah. Well, I understand what you say. And a large majority of people that play it that way, but that's only because I don't think they're really... You know, whoever's running the game is paying attention to how much you can control, how much is combat-based, how much is social-based. Most games we play, like, you know, an eight-hour session, we might have two encounters at most. And I prefer to design, you know, encounters where enemies are high damage, low hit points. That way the combat is over quicker, but there's still a sense of danger for the battle. Mm-hmm. But we still have a good ratio. About half of it is active role-playing between characters and NPCs, storyline elements, you know, skill challenges, and then the combat stuff, you know, it's... flavor text to where you can add it. It's actually a really...
But, you know, you can do that with any system. You can control how much. But you want a system that inspires you to branch out.
Right. Which is why I miss 3rd edition.
Right. I mean, there is all sorts of rules in other video games that inspire you to play a game differently. You can play any damn game any way you want to and then try to shoehorn the rules in there. It's, you know, so maybe... Join the little play group, you know, the test. They're doing the all call for what? Yeah. The writing?
I turned in my NDA already.
I have to admit, I do wonder if it's too late for them to salvage it, because with 4th edition, they lost their core audience.
They went over to Pathfinder as a continuation of the rules, and it's still been heavily supported. The things that I like about 4th edition in comparison is that magic is not as rare for, you know, arcane casters and such, where they can run out of magic after a few short spells. If you're a wizard, you shouldn't have to pick up a book. You shouldn't have to, you know, clean your shit. You're a man made of magic, practically. Mm-hmm. And the whole healer scenario, where, like, you know, if you didn't have a cleric, your group was dead, and that's been a long-running trope for D&D. But in 4th edition, they introduced the idea that healing doesn't always have to be like, you know, healing wounds via magic. You have warlords who inspire people to just get a second win. Like, there's cool elements to it.
Conceptually, I agree. But the thing I have to point out, sliding back a little bit, was that Pathfinder is not the D&D people. Pathfinder is published by a completely different group who used to be the D&D people and fled when 4th edition was made.
So they're just saving 3rd edition.
The company that's making 5th edition is the people who made 4th edition.
Sure.
Who sort of the core, you know, we like 3.5 people are basically flipping the bird at. So I don't know if they're going to be able to get back that core group they lost.
Yeah. Well, did Pathfinder... I mean, it's doing well, right?
Yeah.
So that means there's a lot of...
Arguably, it's doing better than 4.0 in some ways. It doesn't have the merchandising support.
I wonder if half of that is, you know, you buy all these goddamn books and you just want to play the same... You don't want to throw them away. So Pathfinder comes out and says, hey, we got Monster Manual 10. You can use your old books.
Well, geeks can be very loyal. And like a lot of role-playing geeks tended to look at like video game geeks... Some of them, you know, and like World of Warcraft, and go like, well, that's not role playing. Mm-hmm. And then when the makers of Dungeons & Dragons turned around and took their role playing game and tried to turn it into World of Warcraft, the core geek crowd just went, fuck you. No, I have a brain. I want to use it. And I mean, not to say that that is the case, but, you know, that there's a certain degree of brand loyalty that, you know, you basically, you came along and you put peanut butter in my chocolate, and that's not okay.
Right. You know? Put your chocolate in my peanut butter.
Well, I just want to know why, when they first announced all that stuff, it was all about being able to play online and chit-chat online and this and that online, and none of that ever showed up, right?
No, not really.
Right.
No.
That was the breakthrough to me.
It's supposed to be coming out now, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, like they had online service.
Yeah.
Like a chat system where you could talk to people, a little bit of video.
Yep.
Well, and the maps, the engine that makes it all possible, too.
The maps were what I thought was the coolest. Yeah.
That you could play with your buddies on the East Coast. That's the real.
Only 3 years after the release of the edition.
Yeah. Wow, and people complain about like World of Warcraft getting pushed a month or two. Mm. Just saying.
Should we get some news?
You want to talk about, since it's just this recording happens to fall on this day?
Yeah, we should.
SOPA is, you know, in everybody's mind as of this recording, and the internet.
Which is
the
so funny because I've been listening to it for months.
The day we're recording this is the day of the blackout.
The blackout. Right, right.
Where Google had a symbolic blackout where they covered up their name today. Reddit went down. FARC went down.
Wikipedia went down.
It's hilarious because Reddit's been trying to push this for months. I've been watching this coming for months.
Yeah.
And then it was so funny that we've been having these threads on Reddit because I go to Reddit obsessively where it's been like, oh, Wikipedia is following us now. And, you know, this person's coming along and that person's coming along. And then today I looked on the news and it's like 7,000 websites follow Wikipedia to do this. And I know that Reddit did so much of the pushing on this that it's interesting that because they're an aggregator and they're not just sort of a website that does one thing, they're not getting as much credit for it.
Well, I mean, Wikipedia is also way more ubiquitous than
true.
And they didn't really go down, actually.
What do you mean?
They put up a page that said they're down, but if you hit escape, you could get into it.
Reddit. Oh, really?
Really?
No.
Wikipedia. But really? Reddit was down.
Yep.
I hadn't heard that.
That went around about midday. Everybody knew, you know, like people who were trying to get in, if you did a search, the information was there.
Huh.
Hmm. Board Game Geek, if you at all tried to get into Board Game Geek, they put a fake banner
Google up. Put their banner up. But what was interesting is it's really, I mean, were they doing it specifically to raise awareness or to stand in solidarity? The thing about the protests, I mean, I understand the issues.
They want people to call up their...
Right, and that's what Reddit did, was like, you know, they had the Reddit aliens set up to look like Braveheart. And they had like, you know, put in your zip code and we'll tell you who your representative is and we'll give you a phone number.
Yeah.
You know? I didn't see that as much anywhere else.
Well, almost all of them had at least a link at the bottom that I went to.
Weird part of it is like today, the day this all happened, the bill was already dead. Like it had already lost significant support.
Shelved.
The current form is not going to pass. Is what I mean.
Right. But that's only because all hell broke loose.
Yeah. Right.
Yes, absolutely.
So this is exactly what we wanted.
I still think regardless, you know, of whether it was just, you know, Google putting the censor bar over their title, it's still, I love seeing things like this happen because I love seeing the giant rally behind it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this is what humanity is about and like being a civilization.
Right.
And it makes me all warm and fuzzy inside. Mm-hmm. See it happen. It's nice.
Now, I don't necessarily, I think maybe we should table it for another time in terms of where we fall on the issue. Or at least wait for Peter to get here and give the corporate viewpoint.
Jackbooted thug.
I wouldn't call him a jackbooted thug. He just understands the corporate viewpoint. Peter and I had an argument this afternoon about it. But, it's... Well, what? Yeah, I mean, he has a legitimate point. He does have a legitimate point that there is a lot of piracy.
The thing is, the piracy element can't be ignored anymore because it has actually started killing industries.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, the PC video game industry will never be what it once was.
Right.
Because the corporations like Blizzard, who can put behind the resources into these things, they're not really that interested anymore in things like, you know, just a flat-out one-player game.
Mm-hmm. I would like to put a maybe... spend on that. Do you think that piracy is killing the PC market or PlayStation and Xbox is killing it? In all seriousness, if those two things didn't exist and all those video games came out only on a PC, that they would not be making gazillions of dollars?
The fact that there are console gamers should not kill the fact that there were PC gamers too.
Right, I agree.
But it, you know, it is.
They serve different audiences.
Just because that, the Wii, not, just because
Civilization sure. will never work directly on a
I'm
console.
Sure there are some, but you know, there's some.
But just because the Wii came out did not make the Xbox and the PlayStation obsolete.
Right.
What's that?
It would
have if everybody bought the Wii and stopped buying Xbox and PlayStation, which is what happened to the PC.
Well, also you have to consider the fact that the market for PC gamers and the market for consoles are most cases very different. You know, the console, I mean, the PC gamer has been a very set age group and crowd, whereas, you know, console gaming opens a whole new group of kids that they're maybe their parents and they couldn't afford a gaming PC.
Yeah. My real point is the people who are complaining are losing money, big time money, because they're getting their ass kicked by other markets.
But the whole
thing. No, you are incorrect.
The music industry is getting their ass kicked because people can download it.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood what you're saying.
So music industry is they want to sell CDs. They want to push CDs on.
Right, but the whole issue is money. The issue is money on either side. And
right.
I have a video game.
Well, look.
We have not released yet.
Mm-hmm.
We've released it in bits and pieces in different markets that somebody has gone out, consolidated, and released for free.
No, I'm saying it exists.
Piracy I can't compete with that.
Piracy is awful, and it does hurt markets. But it's not the reason why the music industry is crashing. It's not the reason why the movie industry is crashing.
But can you
or video games?
That's a very broad statement. Can you say it has no quantifiable effect?
No, I'm sure there's
and what percentage is okay? You know, is it okay if somebody steals 1% of your business or 10% or 30%?
I don't believe that you can steal any of it. But you can't say okay, it's not right to walk in and steal someone's television set.
Right? But it's okay.
But you can't pass a law that says if I think you stole my television set, I can kick you out of your house. Take everything you own.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I do believe that there should be a market solution.
And we're not supporting I don't think anyone in this room is saying
absolutely
SOPA
not.
Was the solution.
No, but the thing about SOPA and PIPA, how you pronounce it, the issue at hand with this is even though it's become a great rallying cry, you're going to break the internet.
Which is stupid.
What I look at in this is who's going to pay? Really? Is it going to be the motion picture industry, the music industry? Is it our responsibility to scour the internet for our content and then tell you to take it down? Is it our responsibility to do that money, to do that and spend that money? Or is it your responsibility, be you a Google or a Facebook or whoever, to scour your own website and find that material? And that what I think is actually the heart of the issue of what is going on.
Well, the other thing is is this type of law stopping what they want to stop, what they're publicly saying, or is it there to do something else? I think it's there to do something else because piracy is not going to stop with this type of law.
No, absolutely not.
The law is not about what they want.
But they are saying that they're trying to do it so that they can pursue overseas websites that are, you know, like the Pirate Bay that are just pirating indiscriminately.
Right. Wait, are you trying to say the American government's trying to subversively hide elements into a bill?
Actually, no. I'm saying that the music industry and the television industry, the movie industry, is subversively trying to hide it.
That never happens.
The American government's going, duh, I'm 60 years old. I don't know how the inner tubes work. Sure, if you pay me enough money, I'll pass this bill.
But
that's what they're doing.
But look, the impact of piracy can't be ignored anymore. Look at Scott Pilgrim last year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right?
Mm-hmm. When Scott Pilgrim came out, it had a dribble of people who saw it in theaters.
I was one of that dribble.
I loved it.
I loved it.
I saw it in theater. I had a great time. Me and the three other people in the theater.
Yeah.
But when I took a survey of who had seen it, Mother of God, it was everybody.
Yep.
And they'd all watched it at home.
That's
right. Long before it actually got released.
But that's the reason why that movie failed. And by the way, I did look at the top 10 most pirated movies because they actually posted that.
Really?
Yep.
And they were all like, it was like Harry Potter, Iron Man 2. They're all like the biggest money-making fucking movies of
all time. Right, exactly. Well, I think what people don't grasp sometimes is that there are still positive elements of piracy, and there are still elements of making money after it's come out in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the giant awareness is worth more than make that first weekend in the box office. Mm-hmm. Because then they turn around and they sell $1 million worth of toys and $1 million worth of costumes. Yeah. And then they open, you know, a ride in Universal. Absolutely. And they're good.
Yeah, but I mean, my thing is that I think there does need to be a market solution that is better that combats privacy, that combats piracy. But it does. I don't think you can mandate it from top down. I do not think you can mandate it from
the question, like you say, you know, they make it all back in these other ways. The question I have to ask then is, who is they? Because the people who make the money on marketing, on you know, the merchandising stuff, is not Marge in hair. You know, it's not the Joe.
It's not
who
the actor who's getting paid for it either.
Right.
You know, it's maybe the top tier actor who got a proceeds of all the back end.
Right.
But, yeah. You know, yeah. It's the spillover there.
But actors on the low end are getting shafted by piracy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, all right. We should table it.
The topic we weren't going to talk about.
Yes. I knew it. I knew it.
Oof. All right. I think that might have absorbed our news segment.
A little bit. Well,
I don't have any news.
I do have one piece of news
awesome piece of news.
I just want to bring this piece of news because I know it'll infuriate Don. I specifically got
here comes another 15 minutes.
Christians for a Moral America plan the Hobbit boycott.
Oh, no.
That's awesome.
Okay, now.
I love that. I don't want to share a audience with a sullen Christian who's angry at the theater. Like that. Okay. That's great.
What's fantastic is they're saying that and they're specifically aiming this at Peter Jackson because he is a quote unquote noted atheist and that he is taking the Jesus out of The Hobbit.
Oh, really?
Lying Witch in the Wardrobe?
J.R.R. Tolkien, and this is what I find funny, is J.R.R. Tolkien was an adamant Christian and actually loved the story of The Hobbit because he felt like it was good combating evil.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Invading your local cinema, this is their press release, invading your local cinema next winter is the new work of evil. The Hobbit. The Hobbit follows on from the Lord of the Rings trilogy and seemingly has brought everyone back to Middle-earth from the dead. Obviously, they haven't. Obviously, they haven't heard the fact that it's a prequel.
Prequel.
Peter Jackson has once again stepped up as Satan's little helper. They called him Satan's little helper to direct the two-part film and is once again using witchcraft and wizardry to peddle the film, even though the books had strong Christian undertones.
Is that what they're calling 3D?
But that I can agree with.
What I love is
damn it, you will take the witches and wizardry out of The Hobbit.
Right.
And so what do you do with the other 7 minutes?
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
But Jackson, being the self-proclaimed atheist he is, obviously doesn't want to present this movie in a way it was meant by Tolkien. Let's vote with our wallets and send a big message to Hollywood and Jackson. Mm. Christians will not tolerate this, not in all caps, not tolerate this blatant anti-Christian bigotry and atheist propaganda. Our children's minds are filled with enough poison these days from the media without us as parents actively doing the same while filling liberal fat cats' coffers.
So, you know, I find this interesting because, I mean, you mentioned earlier that while Tolkien was...
it's the best.
Wow.
While Tolkien, you said, was a staunch Christian in his time, I did a big biography report on him many years ago, and he specifically was catching a lot of attention towards The Hobbit as being a Christian story, and they were trying to raise it up as this, you know, the great Christian fantasy epic of the 20th century, and he kept saying, like, no, I am Christian. I love the Bible, I love everything it represents, but this is its own story. This is not directly anything related at all with Jesus and, you know, everything. This is its own thing, its own mythos. Wow. He wanted to create a mythos for England.
He created a damn language.
But he made sure that it was a separation, whereas, you know, unlike other members of the Inklings, like, C.S. Lewis, was very forward about his Christian undertones to the story. But they kept throwing awards at him in his later years. Like, right before he passed away, they were like, all these Christian groups were like, thank you for writing a Jesus fantasy book. And he's like, no, it wasn't what I wanted to do. And then he died. But so I find it really funny that everyone's carrying that torch so heavily still. But
if he does end up following the books, what is he?
Well, if you think about it, like, how many Christian fictions have been successful or widely adopted.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was going to say. This is their death rattle. Yeah. And they're holding on to it for as long as they can.
Yeah. You know? In general, you slap the word Christian on something, and the only people who are going to read it are Christians.
Christians, yeah. You know? It immediately gets kind of a negative connotation.
Like Narnia and Tolkien are like the only two I can think of. And Tolkien isn't even a
true. Well, Orson Scott Card.
Hmm.
Nobody really
knows. He thinks he doesn't write Mormon books, but he writes Mormon books.
Oh, well, for including Mormon, I guess we have to slap Twilight in here, too. But
Twilight, yeah, that's true.
Well, has a Christian boycott ever actually hurt anything? Or has it been, like, mostly positive?
I have no idea.
Once again, I think it's that, you know,
Westboro
it's news.
Church.
It's, you know...
Last
no publicity is bad publicity.
Were you there for the Westboro Baptist Church protest of Comic-Con?
Oh, yeah. No, I was there for that.
Genius. Oh, that was beautiful.
I loved that.
What did they do? They just surrounded them?
I remember taking pictures with them. I'm like, can I get a picture with you guys? And it's funny because they're always like, yeah, totally. But I'm doing it out of irony.
Right.
You know?
Well, the Comic-Con people got wind that the Westboro Baptist Church people would be there. And rather than going out and counter-protesting them, they all went, got in full costume, got signs, and joined them.
And joined them. Yeah.
With their own. Weird sign.
Yeah, like Odin is God, read the Ringling Cycle. You know, just genius billboard posters. Right. It's the first time I've heard of the Westboro Baptist Church actually just giving up.
They just went home.
You know? Yeah.
It was great.
It was a beautiful thing. The photos were fantastic. I was ashamed I was not there.
Oh, beautiful. That's all I got.
All right. Well, do you want to hit on this little mini topic?
Topic.
Let's table the news.
And then roll.
Okay.
All right. So one of our listeners posted a really interesting group of articles that reapproach the topic of sexism in geek culture.
Which we have talked about before.
And very interestingly enough, this article actually cited some of the things that we mentioned as things that justified the sexism in geek culture.
Mm-hmm.
So what the basic thrust of the article was that yes, geek culture is heavily, heavily sexist against women, about women or against women. How would you phrase that?
Yes.
I'm taken from the woman.
And then attempts to justify that by basically painting any woman who is against it as being not getting it, as it being as pointing towards male figures who are sexualized as justifying it as being equal opportunity for everyone,
right?
Despite the fact that those
Batman is wearing just as skin tight as Catwoman,
without ever fact that that is not being designed for women. It is
still a male fantasy.
It is still a male fantasy that's being portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
And various other things. So I wanted to bring up that article, which we will link to on our site and in our forums, and discuss, do you believe that is there damaging sexism? Have you in the past attempted to justify or protect your vested stake?
So twist of this, because we've already discussed that it exists, and we've brought up examples. The twist is, do we ourselves justify it? Now, actually, we brought a female voice.
It's the room.
A girl.
It's awesome.
We had, like, a girl in our last episode.
Yeah, we've already established that you have gone around in a certain degree of latex of late.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Now,
how dare you?
Well, you can ask the Christians with the Hobbit movie. I'm sure they'll have a nice piece to say.
That's actually why I called you up, because I wanted to know at what point you decided to co-opt this for your own use, or if it was always something that interested you.
Right. Well, here's the thing, and I am a very different class of woman. I'm in a different percentile, is all that it is.
Right.
I am not really offended by it. You know, I see, you know, Jean Grey in a really tiny leotard, and I'm like, rock on. If you got it, flaunt it, girl. Right. Yeah.
If you were drawn that way, then flaunt it.
Then flaunt it. Right, I guess.
That's the spin. Is that she wasn't born that way. She was
Well, why don't you ask Lady Gaga, Aaron, okay? Maybe she was drawn that way.
True.
None of the listeners get that. No, I'm just kidding. You're like, what? I don't know.
Or does it upset you that you have to does it at all, do you ever go, Jesus, like, really? She's going to go out and fight crime in that? Like, really? Seriously? Or
does it bother you that they're all drawn that way? There's like 500,000 Jean Greys and one Amanda Waller.
Here's why, right, we actually just brought up Amanda Waller in the car. Here's, I guess, why it doesn't offend me. Mm-hmm. It's because I have a very clear grasp on the fact that it is no shape or form accurate to real life. You know, just as how, you know, we actually don't have women controlling the weather. It doesn't exist. Neither does their 9-inch waists and their 32-inch hips. You know, it just, it doesn't exist.
But so, does it propagate? I mean, that, my thing was as a father of about to be two girls, when I played Arkham City and, you know, I played games ridiculously, I was struck by how absurdly sexualized Catwoman was, and how absurdly sexualized Harley Quinn was in that game. Although I was really, really, really cracked up when somebody posted on the internet, "Don't you think Harley Quinn is hot?" And they showed Harley Quinn and
the mocap,
and then they showed the mocap. There's an Asian dude.
Oh, right, I saw that.
It's an Asian dude who did all of her moves and all of the swing, all of the hips. It's an Asian guy.
That's awesome.
Which I was like,
I totally want to see that.
Fantastic.
And he looked mighty familiar.
Yeah. Wait a second.
You did that pretty well, Matt.
Yes.
Oh, Puddin'.
Yeah.
If you've never seen Matt's gay Puerto Rican guy,
I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, no idea.
We've talked about this before, and I don't know if we actually ever defended it necessarily. Mm-hmm. We engage in video games, watch movies, and are usually fine with it, so I guess we defend it in our minds. That we say, well, can a woman dress sexy and be kick-ass? That's what the article had put in there. And or, well, you know what mine is? Well, if there is more women audience in there, they'll change it.
But that's not going to happen if you can't find someone who you associate with.
It's the chicken and an egg problem.
You need to find your way in.
I get it. But companies are there to change society. They're there to make money. That's where the problem
is. I found it interesting, I read an article about a 9-year-old girl who had read Gen 13. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And she had really liked that comic for a long time. And then they hyper-sexualized it.
Yeah.
You know, the equivalent of moving from Soul Calibur 1 to Soul Calibur 4 in like one quick move. You know, suddenly there's just a wisp holding this woman together. And they asked her about it, and they said, "What do you think about her?" And she said, I don't like her as much." And they said, "Why?" And she said, "Well, because she doesn't look like she could help as much as she could before." And that was as far as she could sort of rationalize her
way around
it.
Right, what's wrong with it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here, I will say, here's the closest that I've ever gotten to being like, "Really, guys? Really?" was with the new Mortal Kombat that came out, Mortal Kombat 9.
Okay.
That one was the one where all of the women had just strips of fabric down here. And it was the point, and then I remember, it was beautiful.
Like, no woman should have to go into combat wearing spirit guns.
Yeah, that sucks. Man, that really sucks.
It's bad costume design. It's awful.
Yeah. Right.
Like, those designers should be
It'll never
shocked.
Work. And the beautiful thing was, is that it shows kind of the ending, like, screen cap, and it shows the damage that's been done.
Mm-hmm.
It's their spirit gummed on. That's the only solution, is duct tape, because the costume will rip, but there'll still be that flap right there. But it's hanging, but there's still that flap. It never moves. It never moves. Yep. That was the only one I was like, that is really... But on the other hand, Mortal Kombat is the most ironic and just completely extreme video game anyway. Like... Mm-hmm. It was pretty much made as like a, let's see how crazy we can get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's
though in the earliest incarnations, they never tried for that.
Like, not, no, right.
The original Sonya, she was wearing a freaking aerobics leotard. Yeah. Like a full body leotard.
Oh,
too.
God, she totally did.
Because at that point.
5, 6, 7, 8, and twist.
That's because they were making money on blood and guts. And then everybody jumped on the blood and guts wagon, so they had to move on
to something else.
Well, there were other video games at the time that were still already capitalizing on sexy female characters.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, they didn't have full motion, you know, full video capture.
Yeah.
You know, with the photorealism, you'd think they would see that as their big opportunity to try and put some boobs on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that didn't really happen until like 3, I think.
Right. Yeah. And I mean...
So you do see how, though, there would be women who would not get into geek culture and genres because that they would not have something to relate to. Would you? Do you think that would hinder you?
It doesn't necessarily hinder me. I find it empowering to see women, you know, in these power figures, you know, and as embracing sexuality. And I think over time...
Do you think that's a new viewpoint?
I think it's one that is newly being announced.
It's newly tonight. Socially acceptable it's newly to be being, verbal about.
Right, exactly.
Interesting.
And I think as a society, we have pushed on people that being sexy is a bad thing. You're dirty.
I mean, you show a boob, and like, that's the end. Oh, God. That's the end of the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know?
And I'm not saying I'm going to go running around with my titties hanging out.
Right.
That's not what I want to do at all.
And now we lost our viewers.
Damn it. No, well.
Actually gained like 4. Hang on. What did she say?
But... You know, I like I said, I think it's been so repressed. And I mean, and once again, we were talking about this on the car over because I was exercising my brain and getting the banter, where unfortunately, as a society, we kind of put that sexual punishment on women, mm-hmm. I feel like. You know, it's always the catch-22 for the women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something we had to deal with. Here's what offends me mm-hmm. when it starts getting to this point. You know, I see a Jean Grey costume. I'm like, hell yeah, that looks hot. I want to make this awesome cosplay and like dress it up and do this awesome photo shoot. What then it starts getting frustrating is when men go, that girl's totally just pandering to me. She's pandering. Or you conversely, you get the women who are going, I just think, you know, that's just really awful and horrible. And that's, you know, why is she sexualizing herself like that? And then once again, the punishment ensues yet again. You know, so it's kind of the catch 22.
So you're damned if you do.
You'd like them both to say, why don't you let me express myself the way I want to and not put this weight on me?
Well, right. Would there be that judgment if we had a guy in the 300 outfit? Well,
did you see the gender-bending Justice League at the last Comic-Con?
The cross-players? Cross-play?
Cross-players. Yes, cross-play. I've never heard that term.
Well, it wasn't drag. It wasn't drag. They were adjusting the superhero costumes.
Oh, right. For women. Right. The sexy Thor.
So Wonder Woman was like Gladiator.
But they also flipped some of the female costumes for male cosplayers.
Interesting.
So they had a Power Girl man.
For a male.
Who was wearing a little white Speedo and like the off-the-shoulder cape and nothing else except little boots. Right?
Okay.
And I have to... Well, okay, honestly... Like, Matt is incredibly worked out. He couldn't pull off that costume. The man they cast was the only man on the face of the earth who could carry this off.
Well, they did a good job with the Wonder Woman character, which was like a gladiator guy.
Yeah.
Right.
With kind of
I mean, I will say I would take that, you know, the man dressing in the male version of the Power Girl as a social commentary.
Right.
You know, like...
But let me... So I think you just answered this question a few seconds ago. The way these superheroines are currently being portrayed in comic books, do you feel they are portraying a fantasy that you would like to project? Or do you feel that they are portraying a fantasy that is a male fantasy that you're kind of picking and choosing, like, well, that one's something I can handle?
Or is it actually
do you see your own desires in what's being presented?
I think anyone would want to look like most of these women, if that makes sense. Was that your question?
Regardless of the body underneath it all, is that how you would want to present yourself to the world? If you are the goddess of... like going back to actually my comic book knowledge. Right.
If I had Poison Ivy's powers, would I want to walk around naked?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Well, she has a leaf.
But
she's got a leaf.
Yeah. Maybe two or three.
Right. Oops. That is an excellent question.
And do you think, I mean, where's the chicken and the egg? Like, is it socially acceptable to you because you've seen it your whole life?
The first iteration of Poison Ivy I ever saw was in a comic. I don't even want to say how old I was. But she didn't wear clothes. But you didn't actually know that for quite some time because her hair was like this
so
clover
long.
Ivy thing that not only wrapped her, but wrapped everything around her in those issues. But that's gone away. And now she's the redheaded femme fatale in every version that I see.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think I've developed, while you were talking, an answer for that question. I think I would be more receptive to it if it would be more socially acceptable. But since I know it's not socially acceptable, I'm not going to subject myself to that.
Okay.
To the ridicule that would ensue.
To the ridicule. And
so
here's...
So, like, if you're Poison Ivy, you got your tree powers, you go, God, I would love to go out in this, but those bitches are going to totally judge me.
A little bit, yeah. Well,
okay.
And it's just the fact... Okay, here's something.
Fuck them! I'll kill them all!
That Harley Quinn bitch is gonna say, "What a slut!" If I wear this,
I mean, it's not even as catty as that because that sounds awful. And I really don't care too much of people's opinions, and especially as someone who works in the internet a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, it's amazing. You know, I've done stuff for Machinima, and one comment will be like, dude, that girl's totally hot. I would totally like tap that. And then the next one will be still from a male and being like, that girl's ugly. Like, it's, you know, you can't please everybody, so why try? Almost.
And don't let me read the internet comments, girl.
Yeah, really, you don't.
Crazy.
I don't.
Why
would
you do that to yourself?
I know myself well enough to know that I have a lot more, I'm a lot more secure with myself than the majority of women out there, and it's really unfortunate. You know,
so
it really
is. So for the majority of women, do you think this makes being a woman harder or easier?
I think it makes it harder in the sense, I think it makes it harder, but it shouldn't be. If that makes sense.
Interesting.
Like, I think people play into it way much more than it deserves. And, okay, here's the thing. I went to Burning Man this year for the past time. And for those of you who don't know much about... Well, Matt, you explain Burning Man. You have a better grasp on it.
Drugs, dust, art, and naked bodies.
And nudity, yeah.
Right.
Pretty much, yeah. It's an art festival celebrating humanity and free expression without the confines of society and judgment that you're used to seeing around you everywhere else in America and the world. So it's a place you go for a week to just be whatever you want to, and everyone else gets to do the same thing and express themselves and make art and dance and be friends and whatever else floats your boat.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where girls walk around topless all the time. Guys walk around without pants on. And after, like, day four... A pair of boobies is really not that much to you anymore. Mm. You know, when you get so engrossed, you're so involved around it. It's not a big thing.
Hmm.
You know, and
and like, you're rolling, so you're probably
Those aren't boobies.
Well, let me spin this question that I posed to you.
Okay.
About these costumes that use sexuality. That sexuality is intrinsic to the costume. In some way, yes. Mm-hmm. And let me ask the rest of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when you think about your costumes, do you have to consider your sexuality in any way when you're considering your costume? Is that something that you have to do?
It's Halloween
or that you
for real.
To
and when you want to dress up for Halloween, you want to look good.
So what costumes do you have? Do costumes for the male side, does that involve lots of skin-tight clothing or flesh? Or is it... Projecting
well,
an attitude and character.
If I was going to go out in the streets and have to survive in reality, screw it. In real life, I would be in body armor that's 10 feet thick and I would look like a tank.
Right.
But if I were going to be a superhero...
We're talking about presentation, not functionality.
I want some sex appeal.
Okay, but what sex appeal to the male characters? Like, you don't get these skin-tight costumes with guys that that hyper-sexualize. Their skin-tight costumes there are about presentation of intimidation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Which still has
my superhero name is the money clip.
It's still sexual.
But sex appeal to who?
To like, mom.
I was reading up on what characters that women found more attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that kept getting cited were were Nightcrawler, Gambit... and these other characters that they were citing personality.
Yeah.
Well, Gambit just has that sexy accent.
Exactly.
Like Cage on Wonder
but
Man.
The sexy skin tight outfit guys, you know, those weren't coming up quite as much.
Yeah, no, you know, I wouldn't. Superman looks,
you know,
like
the Batman skin tight costume, the Superman skin tight costume.
I think
those
Batman
are
probably
for
does.
Men.
So in about 10 years, yeah. We're going to be complaining as men that they've over personalified.
Yeah,
superheroes. Like I just
personality was hanging out all over.
Yeah,
the
I feel threatened thing. That these characters are so much more interesting than I am. Okay,
but that's the thing. A lot of these outfits for the male characters, sexuality is the secondary thought. Mm-hmm. It's about the character. Where I don't feel that with a lot of female characters being presented, it's character first. Boob second.
Right. Well, I and that was one thing that was brought up. You know, you do have a ton of female characters out there where it's just like their personality includes boobs.
Yeah, but that's
ass.
Bad writing.
You know, but there, I feel like, for example,
it's also progression of society. I mean, Wonder exactly. Woman, when she was originally in the Justice League, was the secretary.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but that's fine.
It's and it totally goes down, you know, this old habits die hard path.
Sure.
You know, and for example, one of the reasons we actually chose Stephanie Brown for Batgirl is because she's an amazing character with this amazing backstory, but she's also wearing a skin tight suit and she's hot. You
well,
know,
interestingly, I mean, I used Poison Ivy earlier as an example of, right. of the hypersexualization. I do actually think that in general, the Batman characters, mm-hmm. although they have been hypersexualized lately in a right. lot of the things they've been presented in, have been some of the stronger female characters.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, Batgirl back in the day, women didn't do that. Like that was an exceptional character that went out and chose a destiny for herself, that built it for herself, that took it.
Right.
Harley Quinn. Like, if there's a character that's built off of personality in the Batman universe,
right.
you got to point at her.
Totally.
You know, but, like, as much as I loved the most recent Arkham video game, I loved it. Don't get me wrong. I felt the same way when I started watching Catwoman going around going, like, this is awesome, but I feel a little dirty watching
She's
it.
She's crazy.
Right, right.
We should wrap it up here soon. But,
okay, no worries. I was saying, we're talking about a microcosm when it still really plays into the macrocosm of the fact that society right now, especially the entertainment industry, mm-hmm. is an industry. People want to sell comics.
Right. It's a, yeah.
Yeah. And, right. and especially when they're trying to sell a lot of stories, and a lot of the stories aren't as interesting, they aren't as well written, people don't have a big fan following, how do you get them to buy them?
But
you
I'm also wondering whether or not there's going to be more girls getting into the geek side of it, because there certainly are, from what I've seen. And,
right.
And
yeah.
Girls no, didn't, my... geeks didn't look like you when I was in my 20s. but, I mean, it's interesting to me because the level of sort of sexuality that is just readily available to anyone who logs onto the internet, I wonder how much of that is either is just going to desensitize somebody to
right.
what's going on in a comic book.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, the thing that most offends me about the whole thing is that when I'm hosting, is people then accuse me, oh, well, she's attractive, so there's no way she's an actual geek. Like, she's just reading a script. And I'm like, really, man? Like, really?
Well, okay. Be honest here. Let's get serious. The chances of you finding a hot chick who can beat you in Mortal Kombat
Soul
is rare.
No, this
I'm
is
just say,
this
here,
is
just,
what I'm saying.
You,
no, no, no.
Reality
no,
check here.
No. Hang
I'm
on.
Sorry, but that's
hang
just
on.
Reality.
From meeting Mercer, from once I met Mercer, the number of like 20 to 30 year old ridiculously good looking, absolutely geeky geeks that I've found is weird.
I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I have lots of geeky hot.
Well, we have
yeah. a lot of geeky hot.
But
know,
it's
but,
yeah.
But
I'm
mean,
saying it's becoming less rare.
Yeah. Right.
So. Here, let me tell you a story. Okay.
Okay.
About little Marisha.
Okay.
Little Marisha in middle school.
Okay.
Okay. And I've been a video gamer since I was 3. You know, I was playing Mario and. Since I can remember, you
I'm
know, by
choking up.
I know. Right?
So our listeners have a context. What age are you publicly known by?
You want me to tell how old I am?
Yeah, that's
you never ask a woman.
I asked your actress age.
Okay, I am between the age range of 18 to 25.
There we go.
Okay, yeah, that is when I get a breakdown. That's what I respond to. okay, so yes, I was in middle school, and I remember going up to a group of girls, and if, like I said, being raised with video games, I assumed that just everybody played video games. I just thought it was a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, how did you not know about this? It's video games. And I remember trying to make friends. And there's like a group of girls who were like putting on lip gloss or doing something stereotypical of a middle school age girl. And I was like, oh man, have you guys maybe gotten the new Tomb Raider 2? And they were like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I just kind of was like, but how? What do you mean you don't know what I'm talking about? That's crazy talk. And I remember literally turning around to like this group of like kind of nerdy, quote, I'm doing the quotation thing with my fingers, listeners, geeky guys that, you know, were given that title in school and being like, have you guys played the new Tomb Raider 2? And they were like, oh yeah, totally, man. And I was like, done. I found my crowd.
Yeah.
Huh.
You know? And, so I, that story had close, a point.
I win.
That story totally had a point. I don't remember why I started it.
I think you already made your own point in that the sheer volume of incredibly hot geeks, male and female, that we know now indicates that maybe we just grow into our own. Like, eventually we realize, you know, fuck the world. We can claim what we want to be. And that lets us eventually become the people we were always meant to be.
Right. And maybe, I wasn't even necessarily saying hot or not. I'm just saying, you know, there are more guy geeky video game players than men.
I mean, if I can round it up and close it out with a message, like, we're not in high school anymore, guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a society, you don't have to be nervous about coming out.
Well, some of our listeners are actually
in high school. Well, if you're in high school, you'll know soon.
It gets better.
It's 4 years. You can make it.
Wow.
But no, and speaking to the women, because I know there's, like I said, a ton of women who get really offended by it. And I'm just like, don't take it personally. No one's trying to offend you by drawing a skinny girl with double Ds.
Yeah,
they're
forcing
not
it upon you.
Yeah, they're not forcing it upon you. And yeah, they're not insulting you. And I think, as I would love to assume and trust in the male society, that they understand that not every woman looks like that,
right?
You know, and I think of you guys here, you know, that like there's a ton of really cute geeky girls out there that, you know, don't have the 20 inch waist, and that's okay, and be proud of it. And, you know,
well, I've always thought the fact that a woman, my wife, you know, my wife went, oh yeah, this looks like the Dagobah system. And I was like, sold!
And it was, all right, let me round it out with one quick article that I just read that I thought was very interesting, where they were talking about the choices gamers are making when they have the chance to make their own avatars, right?
Right.
So like, I think the focus was on the newest Star Wars game that just came out, but they were talking about a bunch of other games where you get to choose from a variety of avatars. And what they were finding is that I am no longer the lone cross gamer anymore who chooses the female character. And it's not, the research was showing, it's not because they want to stare at a woman's butt. Right?
Right, right.
The research was showing that the options being given to them are for male characters that most men no longer identify with or are sick of. Where, like, the roided out space marine.
Right.
And so when people are making their characters, what they're doing is they're looking at the character avatars and thinking to themselves, which of these avatars can do the things I sort of want to be doing? Which
or
of these
something different
build
too.
The fantasy that I'm interested in watching?
Right.
You know, they're not necessarily inhabiting the character and thinking that that's an extension of themselves. They're thinking, who is the vehicle for the activities
the
I want to do and the story that I'm most interested in watching?
Right. Not the guy who hits the gym for 8 hours a day.
Right.
Right.
And so one of the examples they were looking at were of the Shepard character in Mass Effect, where you have the choice of playing the male or female Shepard.
Them Shepard men.
Exactly. And so what they're saying is everybody looked at the two characters right off the bat and they're like, standard male hero, you know, I'm more interested in finding out what it's like to be this female captain in the future. That's a story I don't know.
Did you bang the guy in the ship?
Oh no! I'm true to Liara from the first one. I'm femme shepherd, lesbian, space, you know,
so
captain
you could,
all
so
the
you
way.
You couldn't even go down that path though.
I could have. I was curious. you know, college sticks with you. No. no, but I mean, there were great options there. But out of all the storylines, and it was storyline related, I found which character that I felt I connected to more in the story, and that's where I went with it. But I chose female shepherd specifically for that reason, actually, because of the two designs that were given and the two personalities that they were portrayed as, hers looked like the much more interesting, you know, convoluted
fraught, you know, storyline, whereas his was more, oh, I've seen this movie 600 times over the past 20 years, you know. Mm-hmm.
True.
You know, and also the other thing they say is when romance issues come up, what they often end up seeing is like, yeah, I'm playing a female character, but that male character, it's easier for us to see ourselves in the male romantic lead because they're rarely the roided out. They're usually a little bit more fleshed out. So you start finding yourself in different places in these games.
Okay, we're moving on. Safe. Otherwise, this is going to be a 25-hour. Okay, the other topic.
Woohoo! I told you, man. The third topic.
The other topic that we wanted to bring up is because it's early into 2012, we wanted to talk about what we were looking forward to this year.
Mm. Movies, there's a lot.
TV.
It is the year of the geek. There is so much coming out. It's crazy.
It's beautiful.
There's a lot. And you know what? There's a lot of good stuff. Like, I felt last year that, like, I saw the list of the summer movies, and I was like, really? Fourth sequels?
Yeah.
Like, I really don't care at this point that there's another goddamn pirate. I just don't care.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of that. You know, robots, and they're all sequels. And
which is not to say we're sequel free.
No, no. You're right. But there are a lot of things that are on my list that are new, interesting things. Mm-hmm. So should we do it by category, or should we just go around and say what we're...
Well, let's stick with movies to begin with.
All right, let's stick with movies.
Yeah, because I've got a few games and TV shows here, too.
I want to start with one that's opening... Wait, maybe it's open.
Which one?
Is The Divide open?
The Divide? No, I haven't even heard of it.
I've never heard of it.
Okay, The Divide looks freaking good. It takes place, like, moments, I think... It starts moments after, like, a nuclear...
Yeah,
nuclear
attack.
...or something. Uh-huh. A group of people in a building run down into the basement... bar themselves in, and for days and days and days, maybe weeks, I can't tell the previews, they're stuck down there, and it gets fucking nuts. They start killing themselves. One becomes like a sexual slave. I mean, they just go out of their minds living together in this basement for, you know, months or weeks. It looks crazy scary.
It's like 3 hours.
You know? What time is it? We've only been in here for 3 hours. You're
what's
eating?
Going on? Stop eating
it. All these canned peaches. Anyway, it looks terrifying and total, like a psychological thriller.
Right. It's me. I'm on board.
Sounds like the Stanford Prison Experiment, but fleshed out.
Well, almost. I have this like sneaky suspicion that there's like a twist or something at the end of this, where it's like there really wasn't.
It was a practical joke.
Yeah.
Surprise!
April Fool. But what happened?
But not Sean David? Bean. Michael Bain. Is it Michael Bain? Alien or Terminator? Aliens?
Michael Bean. Yeah.
Michael Bean. He's in the movie.
I'm double sold.
I haven't seen in like forever. Where's
yeah.
He been?
Yeah.
The last thing you showed up.
He's actually been at my gym.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Oh, he's been at the gym all this time.
Yeah, but Planet Terror was the last thing I saw him in. The Grindhouse movies that came out a year ago.
Right. Yeah, the Tarantino
movies.
He was in that.
Guy from
I love me some Michael Bean, man. If you anybody ever wants to give themselves a great treat, there is a really wonderful, horrible, just great B film that Michael Bean's in called Time Bomb. That is just great, and he's a watchmaker who gets into a car accident and
decides to make bombs.
No, and then ends up getting mugged, and he kills a guy. And he has all of these weird skills that keep on cropping up and cropping up and cropping up. And it turns out that he was an assassin who had his memories buried and they're starting to resurface. And, and therefore the agency that shoved him under wants him dead.
Yeah, that's a new one.
It's a fun movie.
Wow, it's all the right. Long Born Goodnight.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So what's next on someone's list moving forward?
I mean, there are so bloody many.
Does anybody want to tell me about Hunger Games? Because I
know nothing about it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It looks interesting, but I don't really know anything about it.
I'm planning on reading the book before the movie comes out.
I haven't read the book, so I wasn't. But everyone was freaking out about it.
Yeah, people were going crazy.
Everyone I know who's read the book, male and female, have really liked it, which is different from the Twilight books.
They've got really interesting marketing.
Like, gay and female like it, and that's
about it. I'm actually interested the most in John Carter.
Generally a lot of that.
You're really John
yeah,
Carter.
Because I love those books. But I really, really love those books.
The problem is
the trailer looks like ass.
The trailer looks like ass, and that actor, I've seen him in one thing.
He looks flat.
I saw him in X-Men where he was Gambit, and he was...
Gambit in X-Men.
No,
leaving
no, no,
a trail
no, no,
of
no, no,
bad wherever
was
he went.
Was it his fault
right.
or was
no.
it like the movie's fault?
He was bad.
I actually should have cast
it was
Michael
bad
Fassbender.
Delivery, bad accent.
No, I actually had to do a voice match for him for the X-Men game as Gambit. But I didn't have I just did my Gambit voice to book it, and then I go in to actually do the recording. Like, all right, here's some audio samples from the movie.
Oh, no.
And they play them for me.
Made you deliberately
there's
be
no
bad.
Accent. And it's terrible. I'm like, why'd you hire me? This is nothing at all like my read.
Yeah. You know, I can't do that.
Crazy.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, there are a bunch of films. But I already talked about a bunch of them because I saw their previews at Comic-Con, like The Raven, which is the Edgar Allan Poe film with John Cusack.
Yeah.
That one looks meh. You know,
I'm sort of intrigued by the new rash of fairy tale movies for grown-ups that are coming up this year. You've got two different Snow White movies.
Yeah.
Right.
You've got
Gretel. It was hilarious because my wife, who has never had sort of a crazy crush, is totally like crushing all over Hemsworth. And so every time we try to buy a poster of that, you know, with her pregnant belly, she's like, oh my. Yes, I actually, I'm in Red Dawn, my friend. I've worked with Hemsworth. He is huge. He is so bloody big. I mean, yeah.
Are we talking about the... Sorry, go on.
Yeah. He is like... He's got like another almost foot on his shoulder and then literally like a foot on me. It was funny. I was standing behind him.
I'm about my height.
I was... shut up. You are so... hate you. But yeah, I was standing behind him and I'm ready to go in to do this ADR session and somebody goes... Where's Matt? It's like, sorry, I'm on the other side of Hemsworth.
It's like you can climb into him like a glitter boy almost.
It was so nice. He's huge. Ridiculous. It was ridiculous. Yeah, I could totally climb inside Chris Hemsworth and pilot him.
Okay. One I've got, I can't talk much about it for a couple different reasons, but Snow White and the Huntsman. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's one of the ones coming up next year.
That looks a little Twilight-y to me.
It does look a little Twilight-y, but what I have to say is I've seen some advanced graphics of it. And the thing that I have absolute confidence of is the visual beauty of this movie will be stunning. Okay. And the director of it is the guy who, if you've ever watched one of those Marines commercials that has like dragons and sliding chess pieces and everything, he's the guy who came up and directed all of those. This movie is the culmination of all those commercials.
Oh.
Yes, you're squirming on the couch right now is exactly how I felt when I was watching some of the advanced promos.
Are they all going to tie in to the story? Like all the Marines going to show up in the middle of the movie and be like, this all makes sense!
Or that the movie's going to boil away and this is going to be a Marines
thing. Yeah.
This film brought to you by the U.S.
Marines. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
But beautiful. I saw a trailer for The Giant Slayer.
Yeah, Jack the Giant Killer.
Is it Jack the Giant Killer?
Jack the Giant Killer, yeah.
And the trailer looks good.
Yeah, it does.
You know?
Yeah, there are a couple of trailers that look interesting, but I'm like...
Cabin in the Woods
Cabin
comes
in the
out
Woods.
In April, apparently.
And Joss Whedon.
Some of us have seen advanced screenings of, right?
Yes.
I
did not get to see it.
I missed it. I was late.
Lisa brought a bunch of us to see
Lisa
it.
Lisa edited that. That is directed by...
Disclaimer, one of the geeks is the editor for that movie. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We'll probably like
let's see. What else?
Hello, Prometheus.
Yeah.
Hooray, yeah.
The long-awaited
I'm
aliens.
Already giving it 4 stars.
For the trailer.
Yeah.
They had a trailer.
Yeah.
They had 3 trailers to tell you the trailer was coming out.
Right,
yep.
right.
Yep.
Which, by the way, I watched each trailer's trailer
a
couple times.
A few times.
Yeah. And then when the trailer came out, everyone climbed in the office and we watched it on the big screen. There.
Right.
That was a good trailer.
It was great.
And completely like Alien, which was interesting.
Fox keeps trying to tell us that it's not a prequel because I think what they're afraid of is because there's no aliens in it.
Right.
That everyone's going to be disappointed.
Alien cameo, apparently.
Maybe. I don't know. But then you watch the trailer and it's like... Yeah. Obviously, the Fox executives did not approve this thing because it is 100% alien related.
Right.
Yeah.
Now it's not going to have aliens. I get it. That's fine. I just want a good story and Ridley Scott, you know, directing. But
right.
I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, I just love how they're like all these double films and like one is normal and one is geek. like Abraham Lincoln. There's an Abraham Lincoln movie coming out with Daniel Day-Lewis.
The
Vampire
Slayer. The
no, there's one coming out with Daniel Day-Lewis, and then there's one coming out. Abraham Lincoln, Daniel, Vampire Slayer.
I'll be amazed if Pride and Prejudice and Zombies doesn't release the same time someone else puts out another Pride and Prejudice.
Right.
We have, of course,
Men in Black 3, which looks good. I was like, really? Because 2 sucked so horribly.
Right. Well, that was...
It's got Emma Thompson.
Three looks really good. He goes back in time, for God's sakes. You know?
And of course, we have the superhero trilogy coming out this year.
Oh. Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. We've got the Avengers.
Right.
The Avengers.
And we've got Spider-Man Rebooted.
Right.
I
want to like it.
This picture of the Avengers.
I just feel like it's too soon.
I looked at it, and it looked like they looked like they cut all the actors, like, lounging off screen.
Because the poster was.
Well, everybody's, like, sitting there, like, eh. It looks like they're making this noise. Like, nah, I don't know. Everybody looks like they're making that sound. I don't know. Look at the picture.
No.
So we will be posting this picture.
Literally, it's just like, yeah, I don't know.
Post that on Facebook.
I will.
So, you know, they look like cosplayers. That's the amazing
thing. They really do.
They look like they're standing on the steps of the San Diego Convention Center.
See, now, when the trailer first released for the Avengers film, something happened to me. I flashed back to my 6-7-year-old self sitting there in the back of my parents' car going, man, one day I can only hope they'll make an Avengers movie and it would be like this, and then this would happen, and this guy would look like this and this, and like my little 6-7-year-old self is sitting there just having this mental fantasy and amazingly one day this might happen. And then I click on play on the trailer and I revert to that backseat moment and I'm like, holy shit, they made it. It's happening. It's here. And I'm excited for this movie.
Did you like Captain America?
Again, disclaimer, Lisa Lasik, one of the geeks, is editing the Avengers. So
nice.
Noted. We will love it.
I was actually in the Marvel panel in 2010 at Comic-Con and doing press. And they brought out the entire Avengers cast. Oh my God. I turned into a little girl again. And they brought Robert Downey Jr. out last. And then no one knew who was going to be there. The most amazing thing I've ever been a part of. Just everyone, like, completely erupted and went crazy. And I was holding a camera filming, and I'm kind of embarrassed to say I went back and watched it. And as soon as Robert Downey Jr. walks out, nothing is legible anymore. And you just high-pitched screams just blur out everything else. It was pretty awesome.
So funny. My wife was a massage therapist, and she massaged Robert Downey Jr. And he came in, so and jealous. He really wanted his feet worked on, and he had been on the beach or something like that. I don't care. And
Does your wife care?
No. Okay. And his feet were dirty, and she looks at him, and she goes, I'm not touching those. So, yes, she's
one that's going under the radar a little bit right now, I guess it's coming out later in the year, is Brave.
It looks very interesting. The Pixar film.
Yeah.
It's great.
It looks beautiful.
I haven't even seen this.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, really?
Really?
It is fantastic.
Gorgeous.
The trailer looks stunning.
It's beautiful Pixar animation, but they've gone a slightly different direction than some of the other stuff they've done. Mm-hmm. I guess it's sort of in the direction of Up animation a little bit. But it's about an Irish woman in sort of feudal times who decides she doesn't want to live the life that she's supposed to. She wants to go off and be a warrior.
One of my favorite things about this is that they have Red Dawn listed, right? Another long-delayed film. This one takes place in the near future where an unnamed Asian country invades the United States. Having been in that, I'm not sure whether I'm not allowed to say it. But, yeah, it's an unnamed Asian country, and it's a really funny story. And once it releases, I'll tell you all about it.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, my.
But no, go ahead.
About Brave.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer and was blown away by it. And then every single news piece I read about it afterward, everyone was like, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a Pixar movie. I'm not very interested in it. And it blew me away because
it looks... just her hair.
Yeah. They had me at go.
It was beautiful. And her hair looks different incredible. Story. The characterizations look interesting and different than what everything else Pixar has done. And it's all this backlash.
Yeah. The one studio that has my absolute trust is Pixar.
I just, whenever something goes a little bit off their normal cue, people immediately go, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
It's like, why?
And by the way, their last one was a big,
Cars 2?
Critically flop.
Yeah. Cars 2?
Yeah, but it was terrible. It was the next Cars movie.
Well, Up.
But they haven't really done that. Well, they have Toy Story.
Yeah.
No,
Toy
Story Cars,
3. Toy Story 2, 3.
The first Cars was already their Achilles heel. It was the one movie they've done.
Another one loved.
Cars 2 did more box office than any other.
But critically, not well loved.
Well, I had a friend who brought up a good point because I was always like, what's with Cars 2? I think you're kind of holding on to it because it appeals to little boys.
Yeah, almost definitely.
I could see that. Most definitely.
As opposed, you know, to like Tangled and whatnot.
I am terribly excited to see Total Recall. I really am. And it was purely because of Comic-Con. It sold me. Colin Farrell, in the footage I saw, completely sold me. And Bryan Cranston as the bad guy.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
I love
sense.
Bryan Cranston.
He's
Bryan
amazing.
Cranston, whatever. I mean, good. And it's he decided to set it in the universe of Blade Runner. He wanted that cyberpunk. He wanted to look like Blade Runner, it does.
I've heard that he specifically said, make it look like Blade Runner.
And it does.
Weird year of 3D, too. We have the return of Star Wars Episode 1 and Titanic.
Please, don't go see it. Don't go see either. Do not reinforce that this is okay.
Although I will say, I would love to see Titanic in 3D just to see that one guy who rockets off the propeller and like starts flipping.
That's funny. That's the one part that I went to too.
Went to,
yeah, absolutely. Like all of them falling down and like one hitting the rails and just spinning.
Just a leg goes flying by me.
But I don't know if I want to sit through that much movie just for like an awesome 5 to 10 minutes.
No, but I went to go see Tintin and I was watching the trailers at the beginning of it and it was all like Titanic and Star Wars Episode 1, and I turned to the person next to me and I was like, what year is it?
I'm actually fine that it's fine if they re-release 3D. I probably won't go see them because it's not my thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't really bother me that they're re-releasing. I wish they would fix the technology so that I would like 3D.
I wish they would fix the story to the movies they're putting in 3D.
Warm Bodies, terribly interested.
Blank stare.
Zombie falls in love with a human.
Wait a minute. Real quickly, do you think Anakin will be a little more dimensional? Sorry.
Well
it took
played.
Me like a couple
Wow, that was good. No, that was great. It was a good warm-up. It was fine. Zombie falls in love with a human. John Malkovich and Rob Corddry.
Oh, what is this called?
It's called Warm Bodies.
Huh.
Terribly
so it's a gay zombie relationship.
Yeah.
Right. So on the zombie topic, I can't help but I don't think anyone's gonna be terribly surprised how excited I am over World War Z.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I put it on my list, but I don't know anything about the movie part of it. I haven't seen anything.
That's what I'm curious about. I mean, for those of us who've read the book of World War Z, it's about a guy wandering the world post zombie outbreak, interviewing survivors.
Yeah, it's a collection of stories.
Yeah.
It's not even, stories and interviews. Like, some of them are not even narrative stories. They're just like, well, what happened? What do you think about this subject after the outbreak?
What makes what makes that good? I mean, what is it about the book that then was good about that?
The thing that I found fascinating about the book, I don't know how you would adapt.
Oh, okay.
You know, because it was a realistic assessment of what would work, what would not work post-zombie outbreak, what countries would survive intact, what countries wouldn't, natural events that contain the zombie outbreak or help it. Mm-hmm. You know, things like Cuba flourishing after a zombie outbreak, for what reasons? Why did Iceland fall so quickly? Mm-hmm. Why was Israel the only nation absolutely ready for it?
So it was like interesting, the book read as like an interesting what if.
It was a geopolitical what if.
You wonder how that would even translate to a movie.
Yeah.
Huh. Have you guys seen the trailer for Gravity?
No.
No.
It looks interesting. It's about a alternate Earth where there's another Earth right above you where rich people live. It's exact duplicate in a way. And then the poor people live in another section. There's up and down. And it's kind of like a Romeo and Juliet where these two teenagers climb up to their respective mountains, which are almost touching. And they meet each other. And she says, he says, I'm not supposed to talk to you because, you're from down there. And there's this kind of weird. Anyway, it looks interesting.
Interesting.
Huh. Yeah.
The special effects looks freaking crazy.
Dread coming out.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like they're finally doing Judge Dredd right.
Right. But, and Lena Headey is the villain. So could be good.
I respect her.
But who knows?
I'll give it a look.
My last kind of. Have you guys seen the trailers for Iron Sky? It's been on the internet for a while. The Nazis who've been hiding behind the moon for this long. And it's kind of like a low-budget fan film that's turned into a motion picture.
Right.
It's been being, that's, I don't know, it was worked on for like 4 or 5 years, maybe longer. And this guy's in his, I think he's just doing it in his garage type of thing.
Oh, wow.
It's about if Hitler had launched a spacecraft to the moon to set up a moon base for, on the far side of the moon. And then the war was lost. And they've been waiting there slowly, building up forces to attack Earth again. And it's a black and white, like, you know, World War II film, as if they're Nazis have gotten in flying saucers and are coming back to Earth. Okay. I think it's very intriguing looking. So that's coming out supposedly this
World War Z, obviously. And last for me is really Life of Pi. And Life of Pi was, I don't know, have you read the book?
Uh-uh.
Okay, Life of Pi, amazing book. Amazing, amazing book about a little boy in an Indian village whose parents run a zoo. And he ends up on a boat, ends up in a shipwreck, and
with a lion, or with, in a boat with a lion,
in a boat with himself, a zebra, a tiger, and a chicken, or something like that. And it's how he travels in this lifeboat with and survives with a tiger, using his zoo knowledge and stuff like that. Amazing, amazing, amazing book.
Huh.
And, you know, one of the things in the book is. Spoiler alert! Is at the very end, he's discovered by a guy, and it's literally a paragraph at the very end of the book, where this guy basically makes an assumption that the kid has gone nuts
or lied,
and lied that he was not in there, and basically it's an escape. It's an you know, it was not that, it was all because he was actually in there with his mom, and his mom died, and this happened, that happened, and all of these animal events that he had are his
family
superimposing this over the actual events.
Hmm.
And so what they're doing is, I love the fact that they're that this was pitched, and I know the person who pitched it said, Tom Hanks goes to his friend Bill Macy, and he goes, we've got this call of this kid who washed up on a beach. And the whole concept of the movie is about Tom Hanks interviewing this kid and what happened to him, and sussing out the truth of how it is. So they took that last paragraph and turned it into the whole film. So I'm really, really intrigued by how they did it.
Can I make a correction real quickly? Mm-hmm. The movie where the two people are, the two worlds are opposite of each other is called Upside Down.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Makes much more sense.
Gravity is another one. It's where two astronauts, I believe this is it, two astronauts get caught in outer space with a rocket ship that's left them, and it's kind of like, what was that water movie where the couple were stranded in the water?
It was
Open Water.
Open water.
It's like Open Water, but in outer space.
Right.
They're not going to die together.
Quaron's doing it.
Oh, yeah. It starred like someone really unexpected,
Sandra Bullock.
Too. Yeah, Sandra Bullock in that.
Yeah.
Which was...
I think it's an interesting movie.
America's Sweetheart in a very different vehicle.
Right, that's all the movies I've got.
Okay, I got a quick list of video games. Let me go through these real quick.
Yeah.
We got Mass Effect 3 coming
which
up in...
I played the demo. It's amazing.
It's one of those things where I have a feeling when that comes out, I say goodbye to the world for
a
few weeks.
It's amazing.
Did you get to try out the voice? The Kinect?
No.
Kinect features?
What?
You can in Mass Effect 3 listens to your voice, so you can do commands. And I actually saw a demo today. It looked pretty damn cool. It's fast. But not only that, but the dialogue, if you want to, you can say the dialogue and it knows what you're saying.
What are you
saying? You can have the conversation.
No freaking way.
Yeah. Now, still the dialogue tree.
See, now the thing is, the funny thing is, like... Matt and I both know Courtney Taylor, who played Jack, who is the voice of Jack in the first one. So I kind of want to just invite her over. We'll just read the lines.
I can't wait for Mass Effect 3 because great science fiction, and the fact that trilogy is, quote, ending.
Right.
Which is, I think, very brave. You know, when something makes this much money, they never want to
They'll do Mass Effect 4.
Probably.
I think they'll launch a new series in the same universe.
Yeah. Right.
You know? We've got Halo 4 coming out this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard of this one, but there seems to be a lot of buzz around it called The Last Guardian.
You remember Ico and...
Yes.
Or Ico and...
Shadow of the Colossus.
It's that team.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I still have to play Shadow of the Colossus.
PlayStation 3. It looks freaking awesome.
Yes. Look at the trailer. It looks beautiful. It's one of those things where you see it, and there's like a little kid, and there's a big, cute creature that like defends him, and you know at some point the creature's probably going to die.
die. You're going to cry for 3 weeks and hate the world and have flashbacks of Artax and the Swamp of Sadness, but it's still going to be a good game. So, that's what I'm expecting.
I love you for that reference. My heart died when the horse went over the cliff. And Arrows?
Well, yeah. Artax.
No, he means in Shadow of the Colossus.
Halo 4. Let's see what else. Halo 4, BioShock Infinite.
Hold on. We have the Tomb Raider reboot.
Yes.
What do you think?
Speaking of, I'm excited for it. I really am. Especially as someone... Tomb Raider is essentially the game that is responsible for keeping me a gamer and for getting me reinvested. And
really? Because after 2 got... better?
No, the first one. The game was really ahead of its time.
The first one was great. Why I bought a PlayStation 2.
Yeah, it was great.
PlayStation.
Yeah. It was really kind of sad to see them kill it. So I'm really hoping. And the story behind the first one is that it's going back to her as a teenager before she's really learned all of her crazy Lara Croft badassness.
Interesting.
And she's learning it with you as you go. Yeah. So she can't do like 80 backflips in a row anymore, but she's learning.
Yeah.
Here's the reason why I'm excited about it. The team obviously played Uncharted 1 through 3, and they got their asses spanked. And so they are taking a hearty lesson from them because there's so many Uncharted-y looking things about
it. Yeah, well,
which
I mean,
is all good.
Right.
Yes.
Because by the way, I just finished Uncharted 3. Freaking unbelievable game. That trilogy is so goddamn good. It's unbelievable.
They just have to get Nolan North.
I played
North
those games and I felt like I was
Lara
playing an exaggerated Dragon Slayer.
Who?
When I played Uncharted, I felt like I was sort of playing an exaggerated Dragon Slayer from back in the day. You remember Dragon Slayer where you'd have to push the joystick left?
No, there's only like one.
I mean, I only played it at Best Buy, but still.
What the hell? You don't know what you're talking about.
Sorry.
It deserves another shot, seriously.
All right.
We have Final Fantasy 13 2. Which I'm still surprised it's going as strong as it is.
It's drowning, and they're trying to resuscitate it.
No, they keep buying it though, and it's the SquareSoft might be the final staple.
It's because Final Fantasy, once again, being a massive Final Fantasy fan, so really loyal.
Yeah, well, I mean that's the thing. Like, it got to the point where I would play them to watch the cutscenes,
right?
I would put up with the gameplay in order to get to the cutscenes.
You guys are all buying because you're going to play with me, whether you like it or not. It's SSX. Comes out February 28th.
On board.
No.
On board.
Sorry, brother.
By the way,
I am going to be sleeping
a lot.
I am going to be sleep deprived.
This is
going
to be a great game.
Everyone should pick up Soul Calibur 5.
Soul Calibur 5, that is the one that will kill my social life. I will be gone.
I'm actually interested. March 6th. Game of Thrones, the video game, comes out.
I would not look at it.
And I'm horribly intrigued to see how badly they
it's
kill
on PC
this.
Only.
No, PC and PC and PS3.
I think it's an RPG where every time you level up, there's like a 30% chance your main character just dies.
Are you a Soul Calibur fan?
I am, and I'm actually in this one.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Who do you play? VO or motion capture?
Voiceover and motion capture, official motion capture for the character's way.
Do you know TJ Storm?
Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful.
Oh, TJ Storm's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to finally playing a game with him in it that
who,
I enjoy.
Who is TJ this time?
He told me, and I can't remember.
Right? Oh, wait, no. Yeah, he's like Marduk or something like that.
No,
he's
that's
like,
Tekken.
No. There's a character I know you're talking about. It's like kind of one of the main bad guys in this one.
He's like, I don't know. He's a big guy who throws people around.
Yeah.
But knowing TJ, he probably did like two or three of the damn characters.
True enough.
We got Borderlands 2. For those who know Borderlands 1.
My friend Anthony's actually writing the script for that.
Better fix that game. Because that game kind of came out of nowhere. I enjoyed it for a while, and then I was like...
One thing about Borderlands 1 that I didn't enjoy was I didn't feel it had a strong enough narrative to keep me involved. I enjoyed the gameplay, but the narrative was like, moving on.
It was Diablo with first-person Diablo. You ran around with your friends, you smashed things until loot popped out, and you collected loot.
Well, I can say, as being friends with the writing team of the sequel, they specifically took that note, and they put a lot of effort into making a much better narrative, a much like snappier dialogue, and having more actual banter and personality between the characters and the story and interactive NPCs. So I'm hoping it's an improvement.
You know, the other thing that really pisses me off is the way you never felt like a badass in this game, ever. Mm-hmm. You kept getting... They leveled up every creature in there as you leveled up, including the weapons you got. So they have these, like, dog creatures.
You never played the Hulk Smash character, did you?
Why not?
Oh, you just turn on the Berserk with the Hulk Smash character, and you just kill everything.
Yep.
Yeah, just the brick.
Yeah, the brick.
But if you're playing with four, if you're playing with four people, those dogs that were like the
the skags,
the skags,
they were like fucking dragons. I mean, you could not take them out, no matter what gun you got. It acted the exact same as the first pea shooter you shot. It took just as many shots. I'm like, are you going to let me like battle something cooler here? I don't want to take out that those three skags when I get through that entrance every single time. And I never felt like I was a badass in that game. I'm kind of
pissed. Here's one that still like shocks me. The Witcher 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
Okay, are you a Witcher fan?
I'm actually, it's one of my favorite RPGs.
Okay, so I saw the first Witcher back before they had backing. They were looking for a distributor.
Like 8 years ago.
Yeah, a really long time ago. Like, I think it was 6 or 7 years ago at this point. And I...
Downstairs it was, in E3.
Yep.
In the
it was my biggest... It was my biggest thumbs down at E3. It was
really...
It was my worst in show that year.
Wow.
And to this day, I'm shocked. I'm like, I'm either horrified at my own taste or like, I'm shocked at how they managed to turn it around once they got a publisher.
Maybe it might have been that because like, The Witcher, the first one, it was suggested to me and I was like, I'll give it a shot. I haven't had a good like Western style RPG since the old BioWare Baldur's Gate series, and the combat system was okay, but like the narrative, the characters, the story, it was one of the first RPGs in a long time where the moral ambiguity and like the gray area between good and evil was so like intricate and vague where you're not quite sure who's telling the truth, who's lying. And like the whole game I'm playing through, you're not quite sure who to side with. And I really loved the story. And Witcher 2 took it even further. And I disappeared for a month when that came out for PC. Wow. I bought a new PC for Witcher 2.
This is Witcher 3 coming out?
This Witcher is Witcher 2 Assassins of Kings.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
For 360.
Yeah, I am actually really, really interested to see Star Wars Jedi Adventures or whatever it is. I think it's
The Kinect one?
Yeah, yeah. It's you get for Kinect, and you actually get to...
I saw them kind of demo it. They were like, this is what we eventually want to have.
Was it Comic-Con?
Yes. Well... Yes. I saw it at Comic-Con, and I also was at the Kinect unveiling ceremony.
Oh, okay.
And they were demonstrating it as well. But it was kind of like, once we figure out how to do it, this is what we want to do. And the guy was like, would force push, and people would go back, and he would go like, throw his arm out, and the lightsaber would come out, and,
It's more of a proof of concept than a demo.
It really was. They were like, we would love for it to work like this if we can figure it out.
These are... A lot of these on our lists are, especially with video games, actually might not come out in 2012, as video games are.
Right.
Aliens, Colonial Marines. By the way, this is the game I've been waiting for since any type of alien game has come out.
Right.
Oh, you were actually in the car next to him at the drive-in as he was fantasizing about the Avengers movie.
Yes.
Right. I remember that.
This is a Rainbow Six, four-person co-op in the Aliens universe, pulse rifles, sentry guns.
I'll buy that.
That might be the first-person first-person shooter game I play with you at release.
All right. That's I mean, that's what I want. I don't want to play a Predator.
Yeah.
I don't want to play any of that shit. I want to be a Marine. I want a pulse rifle, and I want to be with my buddies, and I want to be
surrounded by aliens.
Diablo 3, we already talked about that.
Yes.
Hard to ignore.
That's kind of the big ones for me.
New Uncharted.
No, new Uncharted.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a PS... The new PlayStation Portable is coming out.
Oh, right.
Vita is coming out, now? Like, this week or something?
Yeah. Pretty soon, yeah.
And there is a new Uncharted game for that, so yeah.
Right.
StarCraft II, of course. Heart of the Swarm. Lest us not ignore.
The expansion?
Yes. I played it, StarCraft II, and it's great. It's a great, great, great storyline.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. So I'm interested to see how it goes.
Now that I have an awesome, beefy PC, I'll be playing that sometime.
Did you upgrade?
Oh, yeah.
Can I go through some board games real quick?
Yeah.
Sure. How fast can you do it?
I'm going to do it fast.
Okay.
Whip it out.
Fantasy Flight, which is the big board game maker, by the way, bought the Star Wars license. Now, Fantasy Flight makes all the real fancy, polished games with the miniatures and all that.
Oh, yeah.
They have a game called X-Wing coming out. Remember that game we played with the... it's a card game with biplanes, and you kind of use them like little miniatures, and you kind of moved around on the board. And we went, it's pretty good, but we just never... There's going to be an X-Wing versus TIE Fighter version of that, which could be cool.
Hmm.
And they also have the Star Wars card game, which is a co-op game where everyone plays the Rebels trying to go on very various missions. But it's a co-op game, so you're playing against the game itself. I think it looks like kind of like the Lord of the Rings co-op card game, if anybody's played that.
Right.
It looks like the same flavor as that, which I like. I like that game. So,
oh my God, guys. Seriously, while we're on card games, Resident Evil card game.
Oh, you tried that?
Have you played that?
Oh,
how is it?
Me and him are... I was on an eight... number eight winning streak against him for a long time. Then you finally beat me.
I finally beat you. I did the last one in the house.
It's great.
That was okay. I haven't heard anybody rave about it.
I've enjoyed it. It's similar to the Dominion style. You know, it's deck building. Yeah. You have resource piles. But, like, it incorporates...
Not as good as Dominion.
Well, I like it more than Dominion. Because Dominion's... I like it more because it's more about, like, you know, the scarcity of weapons and ammunition while trying to get at, you know, power cards.
Yeah, very much like the original Resident Evil, where you never had enough ammo.
I've got three zombies and two bullets.
Yeah. Right,
but,
exactly.
Like Dominion, but you have a deck that's full of monsters, you don't sure where they're shuffled and who's in there, and it's all about preparation to go ahead and explore the mansion and see what's coming up next. Mm-hmm. And then everyone has character cards with, like, health points and what their different abilities they are they can unlock with more experience. Mm-hmm. And
that's cool.
I've really enjoyed it, personally.
All right, maybe I'll invite me over.
All right.
Before I buy, I'll play.
It'll be
done and done.
I just tried, just while we're on the subject of board games, I think it's out in the U.S. I could be wrong. I think it might actually be appropriate to be announcing it for 2012. Yggdrasil. Have any of you tried this yet?
Mm-mm.
It's a new co-op board game where you're all playing Norse gods at Ragnarok. There's these the different creatures that are supposed to destroy you and the world are trying to advance across the board while you're trying to bring together an army of humans and elves to throw at them before it's too late.
Interesting.
Sort of like
pandemic guys, is it?
I played it once. we were killed by Hela, I think. Loki was close behind.
And what is that called?
Yggdrasil.
Yggdrasil?
Yggdrasil. Y-G-G. So has the army building elements of Risk, but with the encroaching doom elements of Call of Cthulhu.
A lot like...
It has the encroaching elements of Call of Cthulhu, but to compare it to Risk is a misrepresentation on my part. It's actually you going out and gathering these... it's like you hold on to these Vikings and you throw them at the dragon, and then they either take out the dragon or they don't, and you have to run and get more Vikings.
So it's Vikings, a little more abstract.
Okay, cool.
It is more abstract.
Okay,
it
cool.
Sounds like Lord of the Rings. A little bit.
Yeah. But same idea. It is co-op. Like, we need to figure out... So, like, I was playing...
So somebody's playing Sauron or whatever.
Yeah, and depending which characters you play, it sort of dictates what role you're going to be doing. So, like, Thor is going out and trying to thump things. I was playing Frigg. So my job was to go through the humans.
Frigg!
I had to go through the humans and, like, pick out the fire giants and throw them away to give people the humans. And it was fun, you know?
Huh, cool.
I actually want to check that out.
Don, are you excited about the reboot second edition of Descent?
I am wet.
So the ultimate yet little weighty dungeon crawl board game by Fantasy Flight, Descent, is getting a second edition where they are going fix some of the problems they've had of dungeon diving.
Oh. Yeah.
But I hear they're coming up with an upgrade pack, so all the hundreds of dollars you spent on the first edition
won't go to waste.
Yeah. Won't
right.
go to waste,
be obsolete.
Which is huge.
That's great.
And it is a very pleasant, like, now that I've played 4.0, I would really rather play Descent.
Fair enough. Yeah.
It's much more fun.
Right. Yeah. Have you played Descent?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll show you the game closet
totally.
Afterwards.
It's great.
Oh, I think
you showed it to me.
I have to admit, every time we do this, I'm looking down, looking for, like, is the new expansion for Battlestar Galactica out yet?
I've heard
great things about that.
All of them have been great. I'm really pleased with all of them so far.
Well, you played Battlestar, right?
I haven't. I've only heard people tell me how amazing it is.
Oh, it's on.
We should do another.
We will play one day.
It's on.
Okay, we'll call you.
It really is one of the best games I have
played. Fist 7 Bump.
It's the best social board game I've played yet.
Yeah.
Interesting.
For sure.
It's werewolf meets board game. Or mafia meets board game.
Right.
If you've watched the series, it feels they captured the series
quite well. Huh. Yeah. They captured the series better than the series captured the series in the last year.
Yeah, it just forgets less. Yeah. Two more real quickly. There's a expansion for Seven Wonders called Cities coming out. If you haven't played Seven Wonders, it's like a civilization building game that you can play in like 20 minutes with up to 7 people, which is rare that you can play a game that quickly with 7 people.
Yeah, seriously.
And it'd be a full civilization building with science. And I mean, it's a great game. So
that sounds awesome. Yeah.
It's a great game.
Good party game.
And I'm going to mention a game that has been on Kickstarter, which a zillion games are on there now. But this one was a print-and-play game you could get for free. I think you still can. But they are now coming out with a nice version with graphics and dice. It's called D-Day Dice. And it's a guy who, essentially, it's like a solo game. You just throw a bunch of dice, and you put dice in different places to allocate resources. And you can, and it has all the boards are kind of like different like beaches that you storm and stuff in on D-Day. It looks beautiful. The game has always been talked about as being great print and play. But now you can actually buy it this year.
Huh.
How cool.
So, yeah.
Just the last one, Comic Men on TV. Kevin Smith, new film all about a couple of comic book dudes going back to his sort of clerkish roots.
Yeah.
Really cool film. And Touch, Kiefer Sutherland's new pilot. Looks great. I auditioned for it. And,
oh, nice. And yeah. Also on the TV front, I want to bring up Smash. For the Glee lovers out there who keep going like, I'm not in high school anymore.
Yeah. I stopped watching.
Glee for grown-ups, apparently, is the big pitching
funny,
point.
I kind of think Glee is being for grown-ups, partly.
I'm not going to say that it's not, but there are times where I'm like, I just can't take another high school angst storyline.
Yeah,
like,
agreed.
I worked very hard to get out of high school. I don't need to go back.
Go back.
Like, yeah.
I get it.
I'm curious about The River.
I'm so excited because it's going to be so bad.
Oh, is it going to be a train wreck?
We had to sit through the premiere, and they showed the pilot episode
at
Comic-Con.
Okay.
It was beautifully awful to the point of where I just want to start having a river party where all of our friends get drunk and we watch the river.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah, it was one of those things. Nice. It's directed by the same guy that made Paranormal Activity. And so I'm like, okay, I want to see what he does when he doesn't have, like, you know, still camera angles to shoot a whole film. And
or Steven Spielberg to edit it.
Right. And then you end up in the middle of the Amazon River with a, you know, disappeared ship and a bunch of people trying to fight an evil spirit. And then the second half of it's all still
security cams
in a ship that's abandoned in the Amazon. It's bad.
And it's so beautifully cheesy. Ugh.
It sounded a little too desperate, like desperate lost.
Right, right. It really is.
What about Alcatraz?
I haven't seen it yet. It premiered 2 nights ago. I still haven't seen it.
Okay.
Yeah, I have it on my DVR if you're interested.
And Walking Dead, we all agree that it's still going to be okay.
I don't know, 16 episode pickup.
Pleased with the
last episode.
The closer of the last episode. To me, a lot of people were bitching about, like, we've been in the same place so long, this storyline's annoying me, but the final episode
any other
justified
locations.
A lot of the complaints people had.
The last episode was like the best show that they've ever aired, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The last season, I was like, I was a little meh on it.
I had points where I was getting a little tired, but not to the point of dropping.
I don't care if they're at the farmhouse forever as long as they've got great stories there. I just felt like the great stories weren't showing up.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know.
Well, it's very hard, too, when you have the comic series is just so fantastic and like the pacing of it that I can't help but compare it continuously to the show.
I guess. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know.
We'll see.
We've got a weird one here called Awake. Have you heard of this one?
Yes.
Mm-mm.
But that's... Yes.
The concept sounds very strange to me.
Well, I had to sort of let Awake go because I went 5 auditions on that, and they eventually gave the part to B.D. Wong.
Yeah.
It is that's why I was offended at it, because I mean, I got to audition with Jason Isaacs, and it was a really, really fantastic experience. But the pilot is so cool. It's really, really cool.
Because the description has me going, meh.
For those of you who don't know, Awake is basically about a guy who gets into a car accident with his wife and his son. And when he comes out, he basically has a bifurcated reality. In one reality, he is a man who has sleep problems, who's a cop, who is solving a murder, and his wife is alive, and his son died in the accident. And his psychological problem is he has sleep problems. He can't go to sleep because every time he falls asleep, he wakes up in a world where he's a cop who has to solve a mystery and his son is alive. And
you don't know which one is which,
and you have no. And he puts a rope on his wrist, and that's the only way he knows which reality he's in. And the realities are bleeding into each other and affecting each other. So like one mystery helps him solve the mystery in the other one.
So if he writes a note and stashes it, can he find it?
No.
You just the information crosses
through him, and he has two psychologists, and I was auditioning for one of the psychologists. Each of the psychologists is going, no, this is the real reality.
Right.
I like this idea.
And what she is saying is wrong, and the other one is going, no, what I'm saying, and they're both trying to prove it through him, and they're both saying. Like the other one saying, no, this is real because I'm coming up with this and because I know I'm real.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's great because you have no idea which is the real reality.
And my concern is that it sounds very, very complicated. Mm-hmm. So like to me, this sounds like a fantastic movie. But as an ongoing series, I'm like, this sounds risky.
It's, you know, at its heart.
And I'm glad of it.
At its heart, it is it's procedural. So at its heart, right. It is we're solving a mystery every week, and the ongoing thing is his problem, you know, and him dealing with this issue.
Okay, but so 2011 seems to be like the year of the procedural. It seems like they're out of ideas for procedural, so they're just going to mix procedural with any other idea they've got. It's like he's a fairy tale guy.
That's what touches.
And it's a procedural.
That's what touches. But I'm interested in it.
Yeah, I'm sort of done with procedurals right now.
Well, the only other thing on television I'm kind of interested in that I know about is the new Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock.
Did you see the old ones? The Benedict Cumberbatch ones?
Yes.
What, brilliant. Is that his name? Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch. He's going to be Khan in the new film.
They're coming out at least one or two. I'm not sure how many. There was three before.
Brilliant.
Yeah, first season was three.
Brilliant.
Yeah, they are good.
One of the best pilots I've seen.
Absolutely brilliant.
I can't talk much about it, but I can tell you that the BBC is supporting the show very nicely.
Good.
I imagine. I'm sure.
They're getting that Hobbit bump too.
Probably. Right.
Mm. Yeah.
So, alrighty.
The Hobbit bump. So all right. There's so much more. We'll put links.
It's our glorious
on our
return episode.
We will put links to anything Marisha Ray wants to promote and anything
and
Matt
you know,
wants
you can
to
like
promote.
Follow
if people are interested in the Batgirl series, is there a website they could go to?
No, but Twitter.
I'm actually unveiling this on your guys' show. This is all brand, like, woohoo! Yeah, we're just now announcing it. There will be a website, Batgirl, the web series.com. But I would say for right now, just follow us on Twitter, which is at Batgirl Spoiled.
Okay.
All spoiled. One. Batgirl Spoiled. It's the name of the series.
Just one word.
One word. Batgirl Spoiled. Yeah. Or you can follow me on Twitter, which is Marisha _ Ray.
Batgirl Spoil in here?
Right.
And Mr. Matt Mercer, is there anything, anywhere people could go to check up on what you're doing right now?
I keep my Twitter feed at Matthew Mercer, or Facebook, or my website, MatthewMercerOnline.com. But a bunch of fun stuff and some really great announcements of things that I can't talk about now, but hopefully over the next few months we'll be able to.
Yay, NDA.
Cool. And maybe we'll be able to herd you back in here to talk about some of those things when they come out.
You guys should join us more often because
he was good. It's really good.
I'm always down.
Not normally 2 hours, it's usually an hour and a half.
Meh.
But we'll just hope for people with extra long car rides.
Right.
All right.
So go to our website if you want to know more information. But also, there's a lot of activity on the Geeks On Facebook page.
Yes.
Where constantly people are streaming.
It is kind
links.
Of taken over the forums in a bit.
It's a way of streaming links.
Yeah.
Like, geeky things are just flying through that all the time. So.
But the website has been under construction for quite some time. We are trying to get back on top of the website.
Yes.
So that will be getting updated more frequently in the near future.
Excellent.
So. And, anything else, guys?
I think that's it.
No.
Alrighty. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Have for
a
having
good
us.
Always. Week, everybody.
Geek it out.
Bye.
Woo, geek bye. It out. Thank you.